All right. The time is 9:01 Central Time on April 16th, 2024, and I am convening this video and telephone conference meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on April 2nd, 2024, and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. We do have a quorum, as all three members of the committee are here. Also in attendance, General Counsel Jackie Rickson, Executive Director Bart Bowles, and Association employees Jarrett Terry, Topping Haggerty, and Brandy Nichols. I don't know if Sean's popped
Yes.
on in the last
Sean
minute.
is attending.
Oh, Sean, okay. And from TDI, we have Sean Martin. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you. Please don't say last minute, but thank you.
We'll edit that
Good
out.
good morning.
All right. Item one, we have the consent agenda, which I think is just the summary of the official minutes of our January committee meeting. Do I have a motion?
This is Deed. I move the minutes.
Ted, second.
All right. Motion to second. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Now we go on to item number two, consideration and possible action on a Class B assessment for Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers. And Bart, you want to
Yes, thank you,
run
Jim.
with it?
Yeah, if I can, everybody can hear me okay? All right, let's talk about this. We need to be prepared here for what we think is an impending activation of the association for two member companies, Bankers Life Insurance Company and Colorado Bankers Life Insurance Company. As you see on the screen, we've summarized very quickly in the background. These companies have been under administrative supervision in North Carolina since October of 2018. And since June of 2019, there have been an has been a moratorium imposed on the policyholders that prevents any voluntary loans, annuitizations, or cash surrenders. Now we'll say the mandatory IRS withdrawals are still being permitted and some hardship withdrawals. So these policyholders or contract owners, and there's some around 60,000 of them, have had no access to their funds. Most of them, if not all of them, have had all their surrender charges expire. So in a normal active company, they could have moved their funds or reinvested and renewed their annuities. Also during this time period, the rehabilitator amended and changed the crediting rate on these annuities to 1%. So you have policyholders here getting a 1% return on annuities that they can move to other locations and get a higher return. Within the Guarantee Association community, we are anticipating that once a liquidation order is fully effective and the Guarantee Association system is activated to provide protection, most, if not all, of these annuities are going to request to be surrendered for their cash surrender value or have that cash surrender value transferred under a 1035 exchange to another carrier. Now, in October, the rehabilitator did receive court approval to make a 25% partial withdrawal of annuity funds to all contract holders. That is actually still in process. They're still making some payments, but that did help a little bit. But we do know that in our conversations with many of these annuity contract owners, they want the rest of their money. So a liquidation order was entered December 30th, 2022, and I put the language of that order on screen that is relevant here. And in summary, what it says is the liquidation order will become effective at the first month end, 90 days after the later of the entry of the order or a decision of North Carolina court affirming this order if further review is not sought, and an order or an order of the North Carolina Supreme Court. Now, what has happened? On March 5th, the North Carolina Court of Appeals affirmed the order of liquidation that was entered on December 30th. And what's not on screen here, because it happened after we assembled this report, on April 9th, GBIG, which is the holding company of these two companies, petitioned the North Carolina Supreme Court for review. Now, we do anticipate that the court will either decline to hear the review or permit the review, or they will affirm the order. Now, there is a third alternative, but the likelihood, based on just the facts and what we know about this case, will it go back and will the court overturn the lower court's affirmation of the order of liquidation? We don't think it's likely. So with that appeal entered on April 9th, it does change the timing of the potential need for these funds. When we were writing this report, it was quite possible that the funds might be needed very quickly after June 30th, because that's when the earliest date the liquidation order could have been effective. Now that it's been appealed and we're in April, if there's a decision in April, then the liquidation order will become effective July 31st, and there'd be funding needs immediately after that. And then it goes on as each month progresses. We move on to May. If there's a decision not until May, then it'll be an August 31st effective date. So the timing of the need of these funds, needs for these funds, is still a little bit up in the air, depending on what happens with the North Carolina Supreme Court. And Jackie, let me catch my breath. Anything about the court proceedings, Jackie, that you would like to share?
No, I think you accurately stated what's likely to happen, Bart. And I was looking at something yesterday. Now I can't remember exactly what it was, but and this in part was based on a question that Sean had. It does not appear that there's any way this would actually make it to the U.S. Supreme Court if the companies continue to be dissatisfied with what's going on at the North Carolina level.
So thank you, Jackie. And Jackie, I'm going to say something, and you tell me it's probably not accurate, but my experience on matters like this has been the decisions from the lower courts can take quite some time, and an appellate decision might linger for a period. But more often than not, a Supreme Court decision does not take as long.
You know, I think it really depends, Bart. I mean, I think it depends on how the court treats their docket. So if they treat their docket from the standpoint of handle things that are quick and easy sort of first, regardless of what order they came into the court, then this should be dispensed with pretty quickly. If they adhere to, they don't look at anything until its time comes up because of, the prior appeals need to be dealt with first, then this could take a while. So I don't know I have no idea how the North Carolina Supreme Court handles it.
Okay. So Jim, I'm going to finish off talking a little bit more about the timing here and then talk about the numbers and the funding needs that we've anticipated. And then we could have questions from the committee, or we may need to discuss some of this in executive session. If there are questions come up, Jackie will evaluate that and let us know if we need to move into executive session. But on the timing, you must consider the timing is actually calculation and distribution of an assessment. Of course, we always go through the assessment investment committee and ask them to review in detail the information and the need. And then the committee would make a recommendation one way or the other if a Class B assessment is necessary to the full board. Once that happens, it's not you flip a switch overnight and you have assessments are calculated. There is a little bit of work to assemble it. On the outside, it's easily done within 2 weeks, okay? But we then have, under the statute, a requirement to provide 30-day notice to every company of their assessment payment is due. Customary Practices Association is we send it out with a 45-day notice. So if you look at, let's say, 2 weeks to prepare an assessment on the outside, 45 days notice, you're talking 60 days to distribute and collect an assessment. With the timing of what we think might occur here, we thought it was very necessary for the committee to go ahead and consider this and tee this up for the board to act next week during their meeting, next Monday. So we would have the authority in hand to meet any funding needs and with the appropriate time to collect an assessment rather than postpone this until the normal July timeframe. So what's happening in the court, what's happening on the letter becoming effective, and the timing of billing and collecting the assessment and meeting our funding needs is ra the rationale behind why this meeting was called and this authority is going to be requested a little bit later. So, any questions on timing before I talk about some of the anticipated funding that will be needed?
So, Bart, if the board, if the committee recommended a Class B and the board takes action next week, would we call it then or just authorize and you'd call it when you found out, I guess,
Right.
Supreme Court decision, or how would that work going forward, I guess?
Yes, Jim, that's a very good question. Section 463.151 of the statute does allow the association to authorize an assessment and then call it at a future date. Now, there are some requirements once an assessment is authorized. The association must give notice to each member company if it's anticipated pro rata share of an assessment within 180 days. If the assessment is called within 180 days, of course, that notice requirement is not necessary. So the statute does permit the association to authorize an assessment and then call it at a future date. And that's what we're going to be talking about here. So
The
if
180 days wouldn't probably come into
no,
impact here, so yeah.
you have to leave it out there as a possibility. Anything can happen in a court, from what Jackie has educated me over the years. But in all likelihood, we think there will be a decision and an effective date of this liquidation order well before 180 days. Okay, so let me talk a little bit about the numbers here. The actuary for the NOLGA task force for Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers, it's an actuary we know well, Eddie Muir here in Austin with Rudd & Wisdom. He's done the calculations of the coverage amounts, bringing in the various limitations, statutory limitations for coverage of all the affected guarantee associations. And you have to remember, Colorado Bankers is licensed in 45 states. And I'm sorry, Bankers Life is 45 states. Colorado Bankers is licensed in 51 jurisdictions. Let's see, DC, the only state it's not licensed in is New York. So there's a lot of calculations there. There's some limit testing. Moody's does come into play. He also did incorporate the 25% mandatory distribution the rehabilitator is making, and he calculated the interest up through June 30th. Because at the time we were doing these calculations some months ago, that's what we anticipated might have been the activation date for the guarantee associations. Based on the June 30th calculations with statutory coverage limitations and the 25% withdrawals incorporated, there are, I'll say the national numbers and the Texas numbers. Between the two companies, there are 60,292 annuities nationally, and approximately $1.73 billion in cash surrender value. For Texas, between the two companies, we have 3,394 annuity contracts and the covered cash surrender values of $102,183,422. It is not an insignificant amount. And we are, as you've seen, we are holding funds that the association's board of directors has allowed to be used to meet life insurance covered obligations from various insolvencies. There is a block of Colorado Bankers life insurance policies here that I am working on a subgroup to do an assumption reinsurance offering. As soon as we know an effective date of the liquidation order, we will be distributing an assumption reinsurance offering to try to transfer those policies to another company. It's almost 85,000 life insurance policies, about 117 million in coverage nationally. Almost 3,000 policies are in Texas, another $5 million in obligations. Because we have those life insurance funds and the association board has authorized funding, we are not anticipating any Class B assessment needs for the life insurance policies here. So we're only seeing funding needs for the covered annuity values. So it's just a little bit over $102 million. And once again, I'll stop. And are there any questions on the estimated covered obligations?
Bart, I missed it. What was your national number that you mentioned a moment ago?
1.73 billion.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so I'll move on to what management we're recommending today. As I mentioned that previously, the authority in the statute for the association to authorize and call an assessment at a future date, we do believe it's going to be necessary for Bankers Life and Colorado Bankers when the liquidation order becomes effective. Now, it may not be immediately. It may take 30 days to 60 days for all the documents to be submitted and the processing, but there's going to be pretty close to a run on the bank for these funds. So we do think we will pay those $102 million in fairly short order, either through a direct payment to the annuity contract holders or through 1035 exchanges on their behalf to new carriers. So we are requesting the committee recommend authorizing a Class B assessment of $102 million for the annuity line of business. It's actually 102.2 million. I should be a little more precise because that's specifically what we put in the resolution you now have on screen. Those numbers are, as of I said, June 30th, and we know now it looks like the earliest that there will be an effective date will be July 31st. So there'll be a small amount of calculation to bring those numbers forward, but it's going to be de minimis. And I don't want to hazard a guess. And as is customary with the association, we are very careful. We prefer to not overassess. Do we assess as close to the anticipated needs as possible? So we are recommending or asking you to recommend to the board of directors the resolutions on screen right now for an assessment for Bankers Life of $57.2 million. And Colorado Bankers of $45 million, $102.2 million in total. And questions?
Ted, Dean, any questions for Bart?
None here, thanks.
No, I'm okay.
So, and then Bart, if depending on how long the process goes, you mentioned kind of updating the numbers. Do we need to take further action to do that? Again, I guess the numbers probably wouldn't rise too much. Just what would the process be if we authorize 102.2 now? Do we need?
The process would permit us to, we could, if we have additional needs, we could do an intercompany or inter-GA
Okay, just do it
loan
that way.
and then come back and see what the additional amount might be needed, and we could assess in the future for that.
Okay. I didn't know if any language needed to be built in the resolution. That's, I guess, why I was asking. So,
No, we're fine on that.
but
And
okay.
just so the members know, this will be the first assessment that we are conducting under a new methodology. This is the first virtual assessment. We have been collecting information and email contacts for all the member companies. I think, Jarrett, you're down to about 62 companies we're missing email contacts on, out of almost 1,100 members. So we have a process with a calculate where the assessment will be calculated and then distributed via email. And then, of course, ACH payment on assessment. So a little more streamlined and a little easier and avoiding the traditional mail distribution of assessments.
Well, obviously knew this was coming. Ted or Dean, anything that we need to go in executive session for? Have any questions for Jackie? I'm not sure that I
I
have
think
any.
it's forward.
Ted?
Yeah, no, we've been expecting this, so I don't know that I have any questions.
All right. There are no questions, I guess. Time to entertain a motion.
I'll
I'll
move
make.
the resolution. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ted.
No, go ahead. You move, I'll second.
All right.
Okay, I move the resolution on the Class B assessments.
And I second.
Is that any further discussion? All right, I'm in agreement as well. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, I think that has passed unanimously.
I feel like the federal government.
All right.
Jim, I don't believe there's any need for an executive session, not hearing any questions, unless General Counsel Rickson, is there anything you'd like to advise the committee during executive session?
No, I don't have anything, and I think you all know that there will be some related conversation at the meeting on Monday of the full board, but it's not, not required for this for this.
I should have asked you too, Jackie, before I kind of skipped over that part, but all
That's all right.
right. Item five, Bart.
Yeah, item five is just that we always give your calendar activities of things that the committee will be doing for the remainder of the year. Your next meeting is tentatively scheduled. It'll be your normal agenda that you see each July. So we have that on the schedule for Tuesday, July 16th. That's 1 week prior to the next quarterly board of directors meeting. I mean, after the
Yeah.
one next week, I should say. It's before the quarterly July meeting.
I'll have to check my calendar. I'm doing some traveling in early July, Bart, so I'll let you know. I may be able to take that from wherever I am. So.
Yeah, I'd ask all the members just look at their calendar, let me know if they have any conflicts. This far in advance, we have some flexibility. We can poll and move that date if necessary. But this
Okay.
is just the target.
All right. Thank you.
I've
I'll be in
got it on
touch.
the calendar.
Bart, excuse me. I'm looking at your website, and on my calendar, I've got the next board of directors meeting is Thursday of this week. Is that not correct?
The 22nd?
No, it's showing 4/18/24 on your website.
Wow.
What?
And I've got that on my calendar as a calendar entry as well.
No. Yeah, the board meeting is Monday. Sean Topping will look at that, but it's already been posted with the Secretary of State, and it is Monday
And
at
I don't,
8:30.
and of course, I can see the materials for the audit committee posted, but I don't have the materials, and I'm looking at Edge. The
Yeah.
materials for this meeting aren't posted or for the board of directors meeting. So can you forward those to me, Topping or Bart?
We can forward the materials for this meeting. The board meeting materials have not yet been finalized.
Thank you. So it is
That
up.
will,
Thanks for freeing up my Thursday. So it's going
yeah.
to be Monday.
8:30 a.m. Central.
I still can't figure out why you can't see the changes, 'cause it, yeah.
Are you seeing the correct date when you're looking at Edge? Because and I don't mean to waste the board's time, with this.
Let
I mean, this is something we can chat about.
us circle back with you, Sean, and let
Sure.
us just
Thank you.
check
I
that.
just saying what I'm seeing, but I appreciate
I appreciate you letting us know, though.
Yeah, we have to go outside of our domain environment to double check the website. So it's a little time consuming here. But
Understand.
we will check on it, get back in touch.
Thank you. So it's Monday at 8:30. Thank you.
Yes. And Jim, that's all we have today.
Okay. All right, quick meeting. All right. The time is 9:26 a.m. Central Time. And I am recessing this assessment investment committee meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association.
How about we adjourn it rather than
Oops,
recess?
there we go. Sorry. That's a better idea, Bart. The time is 9:27 a.m. on April 16, 2024, and this meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association, that has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act, is adjourned.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, everyone.